Welcome to the Round 22 Supercoach Coach Podcast, and we're joined this week by special guest Danny from DT Talk.
G'day, Marcus. G'day, Mark. Thanks for having me.
No worries.
Great to have you back on, mate. And last time we had you on the show, you were doing quite well. How are you sitting now with 1 week left to go? I know in the trade department you're sitting much happier than I am, at least.
yeah, I've dropped down a bit from last time we spoke. I think I'm currently sitting at 62nd overall, but I do still have four trades left.
Wow. I don't think many people in the top 100 would have four trades left.
Yeah, hopefully you'll make some big moves, and I think you couldn't be happier with the four trades with the amount of carnage that's going on. Then there's a fair bit to talk about in the back line this week, I think, boys.
There is a lot of carnage. I don't think number one's in reach, but I think you could make up 40-odd spots with four trades if the right circumstances arose.
Yeah, my hope's to get back inside the top 20 if I can, and see how we go from there.
We've got a few of our listeners sitting in the top 10 at the moment. I know first-ranked coach listens to the show, third-ranked coach listens to the show, and a few others. So we must have been doing something right this year.
All right, now on to how our teams actually scored. I'll kick it off with a disappointing 20-91. So I'm at 137 for the season. And even though it looks like I'm facing a donut each week on the run home, I think I may have enough points to scrape me through into the top 500, sitting still at 137 with 2 weeks to go. So that is my silver lining, which is keeping me logging on into my team every week, because when you've got zero trades, you're facing a donut and your PODs are scoring like crap. He's sure, I'm looking at you, 37, Ruffy, 60, Hitchcock, 11. Ugh.
Anyway, Hitchcock was on your field.
Yeah, he was on my field.
Oh, damn.
Oh.
Yeah, I was in a world of pain. So anyway, how'd you boys do? I hope a little bit better.
No, unfortunately, Marcus, I lost ground to you this week. 20-22 was my score. I dropped down 100 spots to 299. I mean, I saw it coming. I took a donut on purpose, basically, thinking that I might need the trades for the finals this week, which I could be out in straight sets this week, and that would have been a waste. I was going to do Ibbotson to Walker, so I would have got 110 extra points. Hopefully I'm not regretting that, especially since Ibbotson's not playing this week. And I've got I really needed him to play this week to make that decision worthwhile, so that's a bit painful. 2022, not very happy with that. Everyone was in a world of pain last week, I think. But luckily, I had already won through to my prelim finals, and I actually played Dunny in the Best SC Site prelim final this week, which is a top 10 ranked league. And I know, Marcus, you got knocked out of all the prelims a while ago, but me and Dunny, fair bit to play for this week because I'm the reigning champ.
Yeah, it's going to be a big matchup there, mate. Last week I came in with a 21-17, and as I said, I actually dropped about four spots down to the 62 that I'm sitting at the moment. I think I'm in four prelims, so very keen to take out the Best SC Site.
Yeah, I think we've got Warn Dogs, FB Donkey, Dunny, and Blue Bloods from Supercoach Elite. So that's a good representation.
DT Talk has two of the spots.
Mm.
Yeah, it could be an all DT Talk final.
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. I couldn't handle that.
All right, let's get on to some trade talk then, boys. Should we have 44 trades is a big one that was coming up in the social media questions, because a lot of the DT coaches are sitting pretty happy being able to talk and keep on the discussion, but us super coaches are sitting pretty dejected and just scratching our heads. I think it's looking pretty hot, the 44 trades idea for next year, and even in terms of engagement throughout the year, I felt that the DT game increased trades had merits throughout the season, and I'd be all for it if we actually moved to it next year. How do you guys feel about it?
I'm not from that perspective, Marcus. I've always really liked the fact that you can be rewarded for holding on to trades. I know that you just love trading as fast as you can this year. I really do like the strategy and not just being able to make as many trades as you want. And I think that the being rewarded for being a bit cautious sometimes, or I like that element to the super coach, and the fact that it's gone from 20 to 30 trades already has made a big difference to the game. And I think they were probably necessary with increased rotations and with the buyers and stuff, but I'd be pretty against the 44 trades. What do you think, Danny? You've probably had more experience with it being in the DT world.
Yeah, I think the 44 trades in the DT world has, as you said, Marcus, made it such that everyone's really engaged right through the season. Guys who would have run out of trades, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago in the past are obviously still getting involved, still in the game. But I think from my point of view, I've actually really enjoyed playing both games and having them both being quite different. It means that, you know, you've really got to think about each game separately. And, you know, with the, as I said, with the super coach having to actually conserve trades and not make some moves that I would have made if we had the 44 trades.
So you actually like a bit of variety?
I do. I think it's been great having the two games quite different this year. In the past, when they've been the same, you know, I've been able to use the same strategy in both, whereas I think having the two different, having to come up with different strategies for both games is, I've actually enjoyed it, but, yeah, I guess that's...
I have heard other people say that, actually, that having a bit of variation and product differentiation other than just the scoring is actually a positive thing. So,
And you can go with the same with the rolling lockout. Obviously, DT, we don't have that. We're locked out on Friday nights. The rolling lockout in Supercoach is, you know, another differentiation point that's made it more interesting.
Please change that one.
You don't want that anymore, Marcus.
No, mate. I think I'm pretty over... I think the amount of times where you get punished with the heartbreak of not getting the maximum points on field. I mean, we got 23 rounds, and that's a lot of lockouts that you have to be around for to watch the laid outs for. It was too much for me, and especially considering, you know, most of us fantasy fanatics play quite a few different games. I've really enjoyed the variation across Dream Team and Supercoach, like you said, Donny, because. It's kept me going, even though I've been pretty trade heavy. It's still nice to go onto Dream Team and actually not have to worry about conserving, and just getting to think what's the most effective way of using it. And like you said, that variation's good. But I think moving forward, just from a selfish point of view, I'd love to have the Supercoach scoring system with the two trades each round, but it wouldn't be all bad if we kept the system, because the strategy of the trades has obviously been a big part of the conversation this year.
Do you think, Danny, I wonder whether... I think the rolling lockout benefits serious coaches. Do you think that the 44 trades benefit serious coaches or casual coaches? Have you got any impression on that?
I think the 44 trades probably benefits the casual coaches more. The serious coaches are going to make their trades and they're going to know what they're doing, but I think... It allows the casual coaches to make mistakes but still get back into the game the following week. You know, you might and as I've said to a few people during the week, is you can it also allows you to be a bit more risky and take a few more chances on players. You can get on a guy who's had a hot streak and then jump off him when he finishes his hot streak. Whereas, you know, if you pick up someone with the limited trades, you're pretty much thinking, well, I've got to stick with this guy now right to the end.
With Westhoff being the perfect example.
Westhoff is an excellent example of that, yeah. And just on the rolling lockout, I think I'm a bit with Marcus. I have enjoyed the differentiation, but it does get a little bit too much. This, you know, when you get late in the season on a Saturday night or a Sunday, particularly if you're out or you're doing something else, or if you're stuck at a game where there's, you know, not much mobile reception, it's like, well, you know, what am I going to do there? So.
Yeah, and you've always got to have battery in your phone, etc.
Yeah.
I've not enjoyed having to report to my phone at certain times on the weekend, so.
Yeah. What do you think about the idea of having, what do you think about the idea of having, say, like a daily lockout, like a Friday night lockout for the Friday game, a Saturday morning lockout for the Saturday games, and the Sunday morning lockout for the Sunday games?
Yeah, I enjoy the partial lockouts that, you know, we had that implemented last year, and DT Talk still, I mean, Dream Team still has that, so I enjoy that much better, and I'd have no issue if, even for the weeks that we didn't have a Thursday game, if we just had the partial lockout. I think that's a pretty good suggestion, Dunny.
I'm not sure I'm a huge fan of the of the captain's loophole. I don't like people getting a second chance, to be honest. I think you sort of live by the sword, die by the sword in the past. It has added a little bit of extra interest in it, but I just like the you just pick one captain and you're stuck with that no matter what.
But I thought you're a league player. How about all these little tricks that you can play, siding players off or trading it and then doing late reversals to try and psych out your opponent, no?
Yeah, that I probably wouldn't be doing that until finals, to be honest. when you've got a few teams, you don't want to mess that one up. It can get pretty confusing, I think, if you start messing around like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I haven't been messing around like that. I was just trying to keep my options open until the last minute. And often, I think twice this season, leaving it to the last moment meant, you know, accidentally putting the wrong pivot player in position and then not being able to do the trade that I actually want to do. So I've been burnt not trying anything too tricky, so I can definitely understand where you're coming from there. Mm. Now on to some actual trade talk, I guess. We'll look at the back line this week, I think, mostly. We've got, who do we have? Henderson out. Who else do we have out? Hartlett out as well for a couple.
Heppel. Ibbotson's still out.
And with that, we're going to need some... We're going to actually have to look for some smokies, I reckon. Not many premiums left.
I guess we've got most of the premiums in the back line, yeah.
Shall we start off with Essendon player then in Michael Hibbard? How do we see Hibbard going forward or any of the Essendon blokes? Is Watson worthy of consideration or do you think the emotional toll is too much of a risk?
Well, Hibbard's been in really good form over the last probably 4 or 5 weeks and posted 130 a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it's because Essendon have been playing so poorly, they've been relying on Hibbard a bit more. He has just been, he's a consistent sort of player. He's going to post that at least 80, and if he's not having a great game, he'll get into it a bit more. So I think at 457, Hibbard's a pretty decent pick. I know before last week, teams were trying to make sure that he wasn't getting the ball outside that defensive 50, but he seems to be trying to work through ways through that, and he's defensive enough that he's probably unlikely to get tagged.
I think you're right there, mate. I think his consistency, particularly since the bye rounds have been through, he's certainly scoring around the 80s and 90s, and he had that one big game against West Coast. So he's a fairly solid pick.
What about Bob Murphy? Has Melbourne in the grand final? He's the most expensive at 510, but... This is the Murphy of old. He's been in fantastic form, and the Doggies look great.
His form's really lifted as the same way the Doggies have. They've really come out of nowhere in the last 4 or 5 rounds, and he's one of the guys who's really, he's scoring really well. Picked up 103 last week in that win over Adelaide. Got Brisbane this week. I think he'd be a really good pick.
Yeah, if you can afford him, that's the problem. If you're going from like a Heppel, you got to find 100K somewhere. Whereas a Henderson, you're sort of only looking at about 25,000, so it might be more of a possibility.
All right. Now, the next guy that I want to talk about is somebody that's been killing me over the last few weeks, 64 and 37. Now, that did come against Sydney and Hawthorn, and he is a halfback player. Heath Shaw, 425K now, so very cheap. How do you guys see him? He's got West Coast as North Melbourne as his next two games. He can either be one of the highest scoring players for these last two or crap out with the same sort of stuff he's dished up these last 2 weeks. Which side of the coin do you reckon he'll land on? Is he worth the risk for finals?
He scares me because my opponents have him. He could go either way. Hibbard scored the big game against West Coast a couple of weeks ago running off halfback, so that might be a good sign for sure. There was some talk of him carrying an injury the last couple of weeks. Dunny, did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I saw something actually late today on that he's carrying some groin issues, which does worry me a lot because I do have him. So I'm actually quite nervous about him at the moment. So if that rumour is true and he does have these groin injuries, then you know obviously his ability to use that running game off halfback that serves him so well is really limited. And you can see his scores over the last couple of weeks, as Marcus said, have been dropping off from the 70, 80s and 90s that he's been scoring.
Definitely worries me that you have him though, because he can go really big, and it might be a little bit to do with Ben Reid playing forward, meaning that Shaw has to play a bit more defensive. We did see him on Buddy a couple of times last week, so hopefully Reid plays forward again this week.
Sounds like he may be a bit of a risky proposition going forward then.
At his price though, I think a lot of people would be attracted by him though.
Mm. Now, a couple of Geelong boys. We've got Harry Taylor and Andrew Mackie on the run sheet. Harry Taylor, we've talked about a bit over the last few weeks, and with Geelong's last two games at Skilled, surely Harry Taylor has to be right up there in consideration. Kicking goals and taking those intercept marks are always big on the points.
I think he had 49 last week, is that right?
Yeah, he got 46 only, and
yeah.
I think that was his second lowest for the season, and his other one was in round two. He's actually been in pretty good form outside of that.
So he's scored lower than 46 this year.
He has. But yeah. We expect that from him. Don't we say, this is your key position defender, this is your one poor game, and the next two, you'll be all good?
Well, potentially. After these 44, he had a run of 400s in a row. The thing that interests me, though, I was looking at it earlier today, is his games at Simmons Stadium this year. They didn't play there till round 10, but he got 84, 131, 97, 108, and 119. And then plays two games at Simmons Stadium in the last two rounds. Also looking at his average versus Sydney, where in two of the last three games he scored over 120.
Nice.
So that makes him very tempting for me. If you're going to go based on form and at ground and against previous club, you can't really ask for much more than that.
And we got Rivers back too, which should really free him up to swing forward and hopefully snag an extra goal. Andrew Mackie's probably a bit more of a riskier prospect because even in his heyday, he was really more of a dream team player. So, Dunny, you may have a bit more info on him as a fantasy prospect. How do you see Mackie? He's actually been doing all right, 97, 94, 78, 112, 125 from his last few. And actually, I don't know the last time Mackie's averaged 88 this late into a Supercoach season.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I think he's... He has been looking really good of late. He had one bad game against Melbourne, but the ball probably didn't go down his end a great deal in that game down at Simmons Stadium. And I think he plays Simmons Stadium fairly well, I think, from memory. So I think he'd be a pretty solid pick, to be honest, particularly if Geelong get that chipping across half-back game to try and open up the Swans as they go forward. He'd get quite a few points doing that.
Yeah, I think in the past, Marcus, you've definitely warned people off Mackie, but looking at his recent scores, perhaps this is the time where things are changed and you've only got to have him play well for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly right, Mark. And against Brisbane in round 23, Geelong would be keen to head into some good form. So hopefully that's a big scoring game for him. He loves kicking those torpedo goals from outside 50, so I'd love to see a couple of those heading into finals. Anyway, off the Cats.
I actually match him a little bit with the next player, Adcock. I think that Adcock, probably unlikely to score massive, but has been in decent form lately and will more than likely put you in an 85 to 100 score like Mackie will. So they feel a bit more reliable if at that slightly cheaper price that the upside might not quite be there, even though Mackie scored 125 on the weekend. But the downside probably isn't there at the moment either.
I guess the other downside is that as a reverse to playing Brisbane in round 23, he's playing Geelong in round 23. So that's not quite as hot. And Western Bulldogs this round too, and geez, they've been playing so well, haven't they, boys?
I think the Cats are actually pretty good on the weekend against the Eagles, but yeah, Bulldogs definitely very good. They looked gone at one stage against Adelaide. Yeah. I think it was 90-70 or something, and then Adelaide barely touched the ball after that.
Yeah, I reckon it was about 5 minutes into that last quarter when Adelaide got a couple of early goals. I must admit, I thought it was all done, and then yeah, the Bulldogs just came out. They've been really impressive in the latter half of this year, and I think there's plenty to work with there.
Now, Nick Malcheski, boys, he was actually one of the highest averaging defenders a bit earlier on, but a sensational fall from grace. Now averaging only 92, he's sort of had a rougher second half to the season. How do we actually see him for the last two games? Who Sydney got Geelong and Hawthorn, so that's pretty tough.
And you think Hawthorn would put a forward tagger on him, so that might restrict his output. I don't know whether Geelong are playing much of a forward tagger at the moment.
I think I'd probably stay away from him, to be honest. I think Geelong and Hawthorn, they're going to be two fairly brutal games, I think. And he's he likes to drift forward as well a bit and get up around the half forward line and pass them into the forward 50. And I just don't know that he's going to get that opportunity this week.
He got 156 in round 16 against the Giants and has hardly scored a whimper yet. Hasn't got anywhere near 100 since then.
All right. So who else do we have left in the back line? Some old fogies? Heath Scotland?
Heath Scotland and Birchall coming back from injury. I think these players are really relevant, though. Even like a Lyndon Dunn might be relevant because Heppel is only 407,000. So if you do have to trade just him, you will be really scraping the barrel a little bit down here. Hooley's been a bit down, which worries me a bit. I think Charlie Dixon is an interesting one. I thought he was a good pick a couple of weeks ago, but then in the last 2 weeks has scored 72 and 81, I think. So
same as the Cannon been, there. Cannon's dropped off as well.
Yeah,
and he's only 400,000. Does anyone know what's happened to him in the last 2 weeks? It's just been like 60 and below.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I obviously saw him up close last week when he played over here against Port Adelaide, but he just didn't seem to be around the mark, and he was taking the kick-ins, but that was about the only time I really noticed him, to be honest.
Would Monfries have been sitting on him?
I must admit, I don't recall who he was playing on, to be honest. I know he did get he got a heavy bump at one stage, which knocked him around a bit, but certainly nothing. Yeah, he didn't go off for any long period of time or anything like that.
Because, I mean, it was only 5 weeks ago that he was the hottest property on the market.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would have paid $460 for him.
Well, we were a lot hotter on Gold Coast just after they beat Collingwood too, I guess, in round 17. But since then, lost to Carlton, lost to West Coast, beat Melbourne by only 13. I guess they could just be dealing with, third years. You still can't run out the full 23 games as you'd like, and maybe their players are just getting a little bit tired because it's pretty inexplicable and the drop-off.
What do you think about Dixon, though? He, out of the cheaper guys, he's the one that's sort of with Nichols out, he's the one that looks like he's got the upside to me.
Yeah, well, Nichols still out's killing me, so I hate to say that he'll benefit from that, but he'll benefit from that. Got to think he's a pretty good option. We were hot on his scoring potential, and with only two games to go, I guess if you're looking for... If you're looking like you're behind in the prelim or in the grand final, Dixon could be a nice smoky day. I do play GWS in round 23.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Brandon Ellis?
He's a tricky one. The Essendon, the Richmond boys, it's really, who gets off the chain week to week, and that in that regard, it seems a bit risky to pick those boys.
Mm.
But then again,
quarter time, he was killing it on the weekend, but then they put someone on him and that was the end of that.
Was it Armfield they put on him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
After quarter time.
I mean, you look at his 2 weeks before that, he had 103 on the Hawks and 125 on Brisbane. Mm. Prior to that, he was sort of in the 70s, 80s. I think he's 427, so he's not... not a huge leap away from Heppel. I think it could be someone that people might want to look at with GWS this week, but he does play Essendon in that last round.
Mm. I don't think that's much to worry about, man.
GWS might actually be a little bit more of the worry because of the defensive jobs, I guess. So
yeah.
Mm.
Apart from that, maybe Basher Hooley. I think Fari's been hating him ever since he brought him in. But
yeah, I think I'd take Ellis over Hooley.
Yeah, his low hasn't been that bad, really. I think he's got two games in the 60s. Apart from that, he's been 70-plus.
The bigger scores lately.
He doesn't, He doesn't quite get off the chain.
No.
Yeah. So why don't we actually put a... Who we like the best out of all these options that we talk about to give our listeners a bit more clarity? Dunny... what do you reckon? Your favourite three picks for the week out of the boys that we talked about?
I think the three that I'd probably look at, I think I'd throw in Bob Murphy, probably Hibbard, and I think I actually don't mind Ellis.
Nice. Mark?
I don't just want to pick the most expensive ones. I'm going to chuck in Harry Taylor, Dixon as the smoky, and... Murphy, just because they play Melbourne in that last round.
Yeah, I'll make it interesting too, I guess. I don't mind Birch. I think he's back. And
Wow, that's a massive goal.
I like Birchall, and I've always been a big fan of him, so maybe that's a bit too overconfident there. But Birch, I gotta like Murph still. And I think the last one for me, I'll go with a Geelong boy, and I'll take a little bit of a risk. And for anybody looking for a smoky out there, have a look at Andrew Mackie. Hopefully he's in for some big games on the run home.
You don't really care, though, because you don't have any trades to make.
No, I don't. I don't. Nah, come on. His form's been good. What is it? It's 97, 94, 78, 112, 125. That's some solid advice, Mike. Don't go saying that just after I give him advice. Come on. All right.
Now, I think we'd be remiss as a football-related podcast not to at least touch on Essendon this week, because that's what all the coverage has been about. I'm surprised we even got Supercoach on this week.
Yep.
The one thing that I wanted to say about it is, it's shocking as an Essendon supporter, but I've been struggling to focus on my Supercoach this team this week because I've just been following the Essendon drama so closely. Imagine what hurt he's trying to do. If I can't coach a super coach team properly because I'm too preoccupied with the Essendon drama, I'm sure hurt is as well. And as much as it pains me to say it, I think it'd probably be better if someone else coached Essendon this week, because I can't imagine it's possible for him to do his job properly this week. So definitely standing by Hurdy, but must be pretty tough in his shoes to be coaching the Bombers, I think.
Yeah, I don't want to get into all this and on air, Mark, because it's just such a touchy subject, to be honest. And I think it's pretty damning what's going on right now. So it's either going to be proven to be blown out of proportion, or pain's going to rain down. I think either way, it's not going to be fun for everyone involved. So I'm actually really happy that at least it's out in the open, because to me, I just want it over and done with. And if we're talking about it now, it means we don't have to talk about it as much next week and the week after and the week after that. And I've been looking forward to that for a while now. And so I'm more than happy with the AFL's course of action.
Now, I know Dunny's going to be at Essendon Carlton on Saturday night, and because he needs the power to make the finals, he will be going for the Bombers. So I might hand over my Essendon scarf to him on Saturday afternoon so he can wave it at the end of the game if we win.
Absolutely, mate. I'll be cheering my heart out for Essendon on Saturday night, because I really, really don't want to have it come down to that last game here at Amy with Port and Carlton. I'll be way too nervous if that happens.
Yeah. Well, all the best to the Essendon Football Club on the behalf of both of you then. And all the best. It's a huge prelim final of the best Supercoach site league.
Mark, one of us is not going to be happy next week.
Yeah.
No.
Hopefully, Dunny, you give us a chance to represent Supercoach Coach, and Warnie can see Mark there in the grand final. But in all seriousness, good luck for the last few rounds, Dunny. It's been great having you on again.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me, guys.
And good luck to our friends in the top 10. Hopefully they can push towards that $50,000. It's getting right towards the business end now. They can start counting the money pretty soon.
Oh, we should acknowledge, Mark. We should acknowledge that we have been overtaken, sadly, in the leagues last weekend. Sadly.
We have been.
Hmm?
We have been.
2 weeks
Number
to
two
go.
Ranked league.
Yeah, 2 weeks to go and we lost the league, but so well done, Supercoach Elite boys. It's been a good competition. I'm not too sure if we can claw it back in the last two, but we'll see how it goes, and fingers crossed, Mark. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, it's still really close up the top, so anything can happen. As we saw on the weekend, like there's just carnage and a bit of luck either way is probably going to determine it from here.
Catch you guys next week for the last show of the season. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.